mixture of sunshine and rain. All things cannot be right, but it's certainly true. There was never a cloud the sun shined, but the sunshine could not shine through. So just keep on smiling, whatever the time. Secure in the knowledge that God is always beside you. And you find when you smile, your day will be brighter, and all of your burdens will soon seem much lighter. For each day you smile, you will find it is true that somebody, somewhere, will smile back at you. And nothing on earth can make life more worthwhile than the sunshine and the warmth.
Ha ha ha. no Reverend Tim was here. They don't tell me nothing.
Stabilized and center and doing the statement, I guess. So thank God. And I thank God because I come before you, I just praise God. I always say that I covered your amen since I preached, but if you don't feel inclined, I brought my own amens with me in the personal presence of all the way from Talladega, Alabama, Sister Gloria Tillman. I know she will give me a couple of emails along the way. She encourages me, even if the sermon isn't up to par, she still says that Bishop Jay's having nothing on me. Take that. I don't want to be before you long. You know, we have some other festivities on the agenda, and I just want to look at this Word of God today. And I thought, in terms of your pastor, as I prayed about what to bring today, he has such a great love for the Word of God, great love for something he speaks of, and that is God's sovereignty, God's eternal love, and God's eternal protection for us. And I just want to share in that area to If you will, if you would turn your Bibles to 1 Peter, the first epistle of Peter, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. As a matter of fact, we won't. We're going to read 1 Peter chapter 7. In chapter 1, and beginning in the third verse, and we'll just read a few verses there, and we will certainly pick those up, the other verses. Amen? First, the Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. May God add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his holy word. Let us pray. Father, we do praise and thank you and glorify your holy name. We acknowledge that you are a great and awesome God. We're thankful, Father, for the shepherd of this house. We're thankful for your guidance and direction. We're thankful that he has a willing heart and that he is listening to your guidance and direction. Thankful for his obedience to your word. We ask you right now, as come before you, to preach your word and teach your word, that you will open our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to it. Guide and direct us as we hear it. And let us apply it, not to anyone else's lives, but let us apply it to our own lives and walk in it. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Now, this message is centered around protection. Protection and safety. And as I put a title on it, the safest safe. As a younger person, I used to collect baseball cards and collect comic books. It's even hard to admit that. I used to collect comic books. And I had no problem. I would have them in a box and sealed. It wasn't sealed, just a box. And we had two daughters. They never seemed to bother them. They weren't interested in them. And I put them in a closet. They were fine. Then Jeremiah came along, and I don't know about boys, I guess, you know, as a baby boy, they're different. You know, they have a little exploring nature. They look for stuff. They see stuff. They climb, explore. And so I remembered, I said, well, he got into the comic book collection once, and I said, well, I got to protect these, you know. So this is Superman, called The Death of Superman. I'm not sure, God forbid, I think he would have came back. So, he was in the real life. But I had to put the comic into a plastic sleeve with a backing so it didn't bleed, and then seal it up to keep him. I'm protecting it, right? I was protecting it. And same with the baseball cards that I collected. And this is Cal Ripken Jr., rookie card. Says on here it was $33, but I don't know what it's worth now. But I was going to protect it, you know, because especially from him, he was going to get to it, I guess, no matter where. I remember one time as he grew older, I would say, well, we'll put certain things that we wanted to keep away from him up on top of the refrigerator. Put it up on top of the refrigerator. And one time I was putting some up there, my wife said, what are you putting that up for? I said, I don't want Jeremiah to get into it. She said, Jeremiah's taller than the refrigerator. I said, oh, really? But you're going much higher than that. I won't be able to get to it. But the safe and protection of eternal life. I want to read the scripture that we read from the Message Bible. What a God we have. And how fortunate we are to have Him. This Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have been given a brand new life. And have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us in the future. The day is coming when you will have it all. Life healed and whole. Brothers and sisters, we are protected. This is the word of God. The safest place, they say, on earth is Fort Knox. The place where all the gold is stored. I was stationed at Fort Knox for something called OCS, Officer Kennedy School. And they had us guard Fort Knox. They would send us down there at night, and one person by yourself, and you would just march around this building. And that was supposed to be Fort Knox. It wasn't Fort Knox. It was just a building. Obviously, I found out later that it wasn't Fort Knox. But you would march around, and I said, am I protecting all the gold? Fort Knox houses $137 billion worth of gold. 5,000 tons of precious metal behind a 22-ton door. The combination to that door has been disseminated among 10 different people. Each person has a partial code, just a part of the combination. No one person knows the total code. And the code has to be inserted one person at a time. Behind the door in the treasury is the safest place, they say, on earth. But even if you are crafty and think you're the smartest person in the room, and you think you can break the code and get in, you wouldn't get very far. You would have to get past armed guards and missile tanks, Apache helicopters, infrared surveillance, video cameras, and concrete reinforced granite walls. If you try to break in, you're going nowhere. Now, at the height of the Second World War, people wanted to protect their belongings. People from all over the world wanted to protect their belongings. And they sent some of these bacteria to Fort Knox. And it had the privilege of storing some of the most precious documents in the world, the Magna Carta, the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution. There wasn't any cloud that you could just send your documents to the cloud. Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address and the Gutenberg Bible. It housed the crown jewels of the English kingdom and some of the national reserves of European countries. But if we move from the public historical emphasis of protection to a more private individual protection. Protection defined means the action of protecting or the state of being protected. People build houses now with safe rooms. Yet, you can go online and see these homes, and they will tour them online, virtual tour, and then that guy will point out where the safe room is. It seems counterproductive to me. But what do I know? I mean, there are some situations where all the protection in the world cannot shield us. Billionaires cannot get perfect protection. Listen to this list of billionaires who died last year. David Rockefeller Sr. who was really the last surviving grandson of John D. Rockefeller. I mean, there's a lot of billionaire Rockefellers that have already gone on. Forrest Mars, the founder of Mars Candy. Mike Ilks, the founder of Caesar Pizza, billionaire. Die Legend. Jack Taylor, founder of Enterprise Target, Die Legend. I'm sure they had plenty of external protection. I'm sure they lived in gated communities of surveillance cameras, probably even security guards. Brothers and sisters, in reality, there is no safe place on earth that can protect us from these inexorable realities that threaten our lives. Nowhere is safe. No amount of money can protect you from aging. No amount of money can protect you from weakness and disease and death. Well, this is a downer message, isn't it? We all have subjects to realities, and there are no safe places on earth that can protect you from them. Regardless of who you know, regardless, no matter what university you graduated from, no matter what fraternity or sorority you are hooked up with, no matter what lodge or Mason facility or any Mason group or club that you're hooked up with, there is no protection from the realities of life. So we ask ourselves, are there any safe places? Is there a place that protects our future? A place humanity cannot touch? Where the problems cannot reach us? That is overseen by the ultimate protector? That doesn't allow any tragedy to come upon or against us? Now remember, you're a church, so you're supposed to say yes. Where is it? How do I access it? The Apostle Paul reminds us there is a safe place and a powerful protector who watches over our future salvation. Our ultimate salvation has been protected this morning by a strong protector. God is presiding over our future to make sure what he has paid for is safely deposited in our hand. This text this morning is painted to teach us that our ultimate salvation is kept in a safe place. That salvation, our inheritance, is being presided over by a protector that will not allow anyone or anything to tamper with what he himself has put in a safe place. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter is writing to a group of Christians. And they are new believers. They're a new community that has been called together in the name of Jesus Christ. They are marginal, they're temporal, they are persecuted. They are living in modern-day Turkey. And we hear a lot about Turkey today. But they are living in what is now modern-day Turkey. They are camping out on the borders of Iran. And they are under strict influence, intentional persecution from the local police. They are living under the terror and threat and tyranny of officials. They are suffering because they believe Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And they're being persecuted for what they believe. In the face of pressure and persecution, Peter writes to them that God has established something. He's established something for them, that he has reserved something for them. He has guaranteed a deposit, an inheritance for these believers. Oh, I'm going to go into commercial mode right now. Because you think I've been talking about, you think it's exciting? I'm looking at you. Don't look too excited to me. Because, you see, you're thinking, this is kind of mundane. This is really nothing. Some of you may be thinking, I really kind of, maybe I should have went down the street where you know, the church down the street, they're talking about getting the three C's. You know the three C's. More cars, more clothes, and more cash. But what I'm going to give you today will outlast the cars. It'll outlast the clothes. It's going to outlast the cash. Your inheritance, your ultimate salvation is kept in a safe place. Now, God can't renege on what he says. God is a gentleman, and he's not dishonest. He does not lack integrity. If God makes a promise, he will keep it. God is not deceptive. God says, you have what? An inheritance. The people that Peter's talking to are poor, marginalized Christians. God is saying to Peter, tell them, I have an inheritance for them. Don't mistake this for what many people do. Your inheritance is not a line of credit. It's not a line of credit. You see, he describes the inheritance in verse 4. He uses four words in verse 4 to characterize our inheritance. See if you can pick them out. He says, the inheritance is never what? The inheritance never perishes. It never spoils. It never fades. You see, fourth, it is kept by the divine protector. It says it never perishes. It never perishes. Our inheritance never perishes. It is imperishable. In chapter 1 of 1 Peter, Peter points out a few things that are imperishable. He says, your new birth is imperishable. It's imperishable. It will not perish. The word of your redemption is imperishable. The mercy of God is imperishable. The mercy of God is imperishable. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is imperishable. The inheritance that God puts your name on is imperishable. And then he says, these things will what? They won't spoil. They're undefiled. It never spoils. Never spoils. Well, I know I've told you that I'm going to give my complete resume, but I used to work at one time for 3M, and I sold something called Scotch Guard. It's a chemical. It's a chemical that protected, you see. And I had three or four states, I forgot now. But I drove all those states. And I left Sunday night from my house, and I would drive to Green Bay, Wisconsin, because they had paper mills there. And we treated paper. I know they treated fabric with it, but they also treated paper. And that would make the paper grease and oil resistant. So they would use it in margarine wrap and anything, french fry bags and all that stuff back then. They put the french fries in a bag and make them out of two boxes or something. But so I go to these paper mills and drive into these paper mills. And then I would sell this chemical by the tanker load, by the rail car load. They're dumping this in, and this was protecting. You see, when you bought different fabrics, it was Scotch Guard. They would ask you, right? When you bought soap, they'd say, well, do you want a Scotch Guard? It'll protect it if you spill coffee on it or stain it. It'll protect it. If you spill jelly, you can wipe it off and it won't stain or spoil the fabric. And you say, well, yes, I want Scotch Guard. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, all of us have been contaminated by the chemicals in Scotch. It tears up the liver. You don't even hear about it anymore, do you? Because it was a chemical. It was coming off of the fabric over time, and you somehow was ingesting it, and it was infecting the liver. What was meant to protect the fabric was destroying and messing up your internal organs. So your cloth was protected, but your body was torn down. We had to stick with what our grandmother used, and that was just plastic covers. You know, get plastic over there. That worked for her. And we might have said something about it, but hey, you didn't get sick from it. When God keeps your inheritance from spoiling, it doesn't hurt you, it helps you. See, the apostle also says it never fades. Never fades. But he doesn't just keep it undefiled, he keeps it from fading away. Your inheritance now never fades. When Peter uses that word, he could use one of the runners, and he could be thinking about one of the runners and the Olympic runs, the Olympic trials. Back in those days, the Greeks, they had a lot of Olympic runners. So when he uses this thing of unfading, some of the runners would fade, but he uses this word, he's thinking about the wearing of the laurel. The runner who won would run up at the end of the race. He won the race, then he would run up this long flight of stairs. And at the top of the stairs would be the king. And the king would place this laurel wreath on his head. So Peter's thinking of that when he says that. It's neatly placed on the head of the victor who ran up those steps. But the laurel wreath is short-lived. It's made out of a plant. So after a day or two, these leaves would start withering. They would dry and turn brown and then start falling away. So what the victor won disappeared. But when you win your inheritance from Christ, it shall never, never fade. Why doesn't it fade? Because it's been kept by the protector that cannot be bribed. It has been kept. The word kept is in the perfect passive. It implies what? That God did in Jesus Christ back then has a positive effect on us right now. What God did in and through Jesus Christ back then has a positive effect on us right now. Now turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss this. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss this. And this is the power that resurrected Christ in the past. It's the same power that preserves your inheritance right now. It's the same power. Some of you missed it. The power that resurrected Christ in the past is the same power that preserves your inheritance right now. Not only is God looking at that, but he cherishes it. He cherishes your inheritance. He's giving you an inheritance, and then he cherishes it. How's he checked? He protects it. He looks it over. His internal surveillance is on it. Satanic forces try to disqualify you from claiming what God has already put in your account. And it's already in your account. And forces will try to disqualify you, try to get you to turn away. But God is keeping you. If you don't find excitement in that, I can't do a holy dance anymore. Can't spin around anymore. God forbid. Christ didn't save us to get a six-figure job. He didn't save us for that. I know that's a popular way of thinking that I got saved and now I'm going to get this six-figure job. He didn't save us to get a car and a house and more money. That's the result of good stewardship. You can have all that, but that's the result of good stewardship. God the Father sent Jesus that you might be reconciled back to him. And the Lord is keeping your inheritance. Maybe you're asking, wait a minute, Richard, wait. Now, I'm no attorney, but I've been around long enough to know something. I know something about legal terms. Inheritance is a legal term. Inheritance are always contested. Always contested. So how can I shout for somebody else? They may be contesting. Someone may come in and contest my inheritance. That's why I like preaching that about me. Y'all ask the right questions, don't you? Sometimes people contest wills and documents, and they'll contest it and say there was undue influence. And who got the money? Where one person, they'll say, exerted undue influence on my dad or my mom. Another, putting pressure on them to make a different decision than the one that has been documented. It's like a son threatening an aging father or mother unless they give them more of the inheritance, that they're going to put them maybe in a nursing home. I'm going to slam you in a nursing home. I'm going to put you in a place far away if you don't give me more. We know these kinds of things happen. But I don't know if anyone here has happened to, so I'm not talking about anyone. I'm just saying they happen. You see, people also point, other than undue influence, they point to incompetence. Incompetence. They ask, did the person that wrote the document not include me in the inheritance? So maybe they want to sound mine. This becomes a ground for arguing against the document that gives you the inheritance. There are also times when fraud may be interjected into the situation. When one person says to a parent, my sister, she's involved in criminal activity, and putting her in a negative light, so they change the inheritance. Change the document. Some people may say, well, the language of the document is ambiguous. It's ambiguous language, and so the language could be interpreted many different ways. God knew all these kinds of things. He knew they all could happen. So he sent me here today to agape, to reassure you that he cannot be unduly influenced. God sent me. You see, Satan can't bring enough against you and me for God to change his mind. God is not incompetent. Those that try to challenge his character have to remember that God is completely competent. Anybody that says God is incompetent is an incompetent themselves. He cannot be accused of fraud because his name and nature are what? Truth. If God doesn't stand on truth, he stops being God. Since he can't stop being God, he can't stop being untruth or standing on truth. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's nothing ambiguous about Bible language. See, right in this book, there's an old covenant and a new covenant. And it means testament, which means what? Will. And God has already signed the document, and it's in your hand. If you want to know what's going on, what you're going to inherit, read this document. You're going to inherit new birth. You're going to inherit living hope. You're going to inherit a resurrected power in Jesus Christ. Resurrected power in Jesus Christ. People may contest all the wills on earth, but they can't negotiate with God. He stamped it with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, and wrote your name on it. So if you get weary and heavy laden and tired and doubtful and you feel like you can't go on, remember this. God already signed the document. And your name is on it. Your name is on the lock and key. Nothing can change that. It's similar to a birth certificate. And you may, you can get disgusted with your children, especially if you got adult children. You know, we got adult children. And some of my wife was saying this to me. She said, I think she was saying, Mother Morgan used to say, well, when they're little, they're under your feet. But when they get older, they're adults, they're on your heart. And you can't really say a whole lot. But your name is on the lock and key. If you took your birth certificate and scraped your name, your child's name on the birth certificate, guess what? They're still your child. Tell you nothing. Nobody can see it. Nobody can see it. Isaiah 49:16 says, see, I have written your name on the palms of my hand. He's written your name in the palm of his hand. Nobody can pluck it out. Your inheritance is secure. And one final thing, brothers and sisters, your inheritance is kept for you, and you are being kept by the inheritance. He's keeping you so you can enjoy the inheritance. I heard a preacher say that whether you're on this earth for 60, 70, 80 years, you are still going to be in eternity a whole lot longer than you are on this earth. Thousands and millions of years. So I'm not talking about God, what he did through Jesus Christ on the cross. That's already been settled, isn't it? Already been settled. But while I'm on planet earth, I'm still bound by this earthly tent. But one day, my earthly tent is going to shut down and I'm going to move out. And God's going to prepare for me another building, not made by the hands of man, but an eternal house. And I sense someone has a question. You're saying, but Brother Tillman, can you believe God? I know I'm in church and I'm supposed to say amen, but in church, but can you really stake my claim, rest my hope, my future on God and what he says? Yes, you can. That's why you should read this document. This is in your hand. Verse 5 describes for us what God is going to do. It says in verse 5, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Amen. You're shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Shield. God has declared your inheritance is being kept for you. You know, many times in the Chinese language, they write characters and then they write a picture next to the word. They write a character next to the word. And so you know what it means. And so they even come up with new words. For instance, when they want to describe a crisis, they'll draw the character for danger or dangerous. And then they'll draw a character for opportunity. And blend it together, a crisis is a dangerous opportunity. In the same way, when writing words for integrity, watch this, they draw a person in the word, so integrity. So the Chinese integrity is honesty of one's word. If the word and the person don't match, they lack integrity. Some of you always remember a time when people used to say, oh, let's shake on it. We used to do that in church. Let's shake on it. We'll shake on it. And we stood by our word. Your word was your bond. And people get agitated now because, you know, they say they're going to do something and they don't do it. Now, we need legal documents now, don't we? To get people to do stuff. God forbid, I mean, it's probably not a legal document, but my pastor does this at our church. He brings in documents, and he has everyone, in the choir or something, they all sign this document. You know, the signing of what they're going to do. They read it over, and this is what they're going to do. You know, I'm going to, not start any trouble. So, listen. And so they sign all these documents, and he takes them, and he has them in the file. Now, you can take your word, and it's not a legal document, but something in your mind says, I just signed something, so I'm going to stand by this. Yes. We need legal documents now, and we need legal documents for what? For the legal documents, for what? For the legal documents. And according to integrity, when a person and a word come together, you can believe them when integrity and their word comes together. When God sends Jesus, the word became flesh. And he embodied integrity. If God said it, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, let God sell it for you. Your inheritance has been settled. God has settled your inheritance. Your salvation is kept by the power of God through faith. God says, I'm going to keep it. God says, I just want you to have faith to experience my power on earth. Don't wait for heaven to know that God can make a way. I don't have to guess whether God was able to make it happen. I can see God is able. Don't just talk about God. Do God. Believe God. Trust God. What have you been waiting for? If God can keep your inheritance in heaven, the Lord can help you on planet Earth. Whatever you've been praying for, pray, then get off your knees and go to work. Believe God is going about his business, you can go about your business. Watch God working out. Have faith in God. He is in control. You just need to have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Not big faith. Not gargantuan faith. Not Herculean faith. Not Titanic faith. Just faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can say to this mountain of unemployment, move. You can say to this mountain of sickness, move. You can say to this mountain of marital problems, move. This mountain of disobedience, move. Ephesians 3:20 says, he is able to make a way out of no way. Let's begin. Thank you, Lord, that you are protecting us. Thank you for your safety. Thank you for your surveillance of us. Thank you for the inheritance. And we're just claiming it by faith. And we're thanking you for it. We're thanking you once again for the shepherd of this church and these people. Thanking you, Father, that he doesn't seek to be a celebrity, but he seeks to be a servant. We continue to serve you and guide your people. And direct your people and teach them the holy word of God. We give you the praise this morning. We give you the glory this morning. And the thanks and the worship and the gratitude for how you blessed us with a pastor who is saved and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The doors of the church are open. If there is one here today who does not know the Lord Jesus and the pardoning of your sins, one here today. Maybe you have been looking for a church home. Looking for a church home where the word of God is taught and truth.